Module 12, Tracking and Blood Trailing. Chapter 2, Strategy for Following the Blood Trail and Tracking. We all dream about the perfect shot. 20 yards, broadside, our arrow flies true, and the bull runs a short distance and falls over. Or, 100 yards, broadside, and a bullet from our rifle drops the bull in its tracks. Unfortunately, even when we've done all we can to ensure these scenarios, things can and do happen. And even when everything goes right, elk are tough animals and can go great distances after a seemingly perfect shot. Learning the essential arts of tracking and following a blood trail are vital to maximizing success and ensuring recovery. At the shot. Tracking begins the second you take the shot. It can be a bit chaotic in the seconds immediately following, but those seconds can be vital to ensuring your tracking job gets off on the right foot. At the shot, don't overdo it with calling. Just give a few soft cow calls to settle the elk back down. Too much calling can actually charge the elk with adrenaline and send it running even harder away from you. A simple bugle with a few soft cow calls is often enough to catch the elk's attention without causing additional panic. Don't holler or yell to your hunting partner unless you see the elk fall within sight. As the elk is crashing off, try to determine where you hit. Simultaneously, listen intently for clues as to where the elk is heading. Listen for antlers going through brush, hooves running across rocks, and other indicators that will help you find the exact path the elk followed as he flees the scene, just in case you don't end up with much blood, especially initially. You may be able to continue hearing the elk's departure for a few minutes after the shot. Even better, you may hear the signs of finality in a cough or a crash. After those first few minutes, make sure you have a visual image in your mind of where the elk was standing at the shot, as well as the path they followed as they ran away. Hang a strip of flagging ribbon where you're standing, then back out of the area. I found 200 yards or so is a safe distance to back out to ensure the elk doesn't get bumped by an errant thermal or excited whispers. The wait. The time after a shot can drag by and make minutes seem like hours. This window of waiting is crucial, though, and should never be rushed. Always err on the side of caution. If you're unsure of your hit, wait at least 1 hour. Moving ahead and hanging a ribbon where the elk was standing at the shot, or looking for blood right after the shot, runs the risk of bumping an elk that is slowed down, or possibly even bedded down nearby. After an hour, proceed quietly back to the shot location and hang a ribbon where the bull was standing when you shot. From there, proceed to look for first blood to analyze the hit. First blood will usually dictate how you proceed with tracking when you're unsure of the shot. Knowing where you hit can help with the decision of how long to wait before you begin tracking. With a solid double lung hit, back out and wait an hour. If the shot is too far back in the guts, back out and wait for 3 or 4 hours. There are a lot of factors that can come into play with these wait times. Factors such as rain, snow, darkness, etc. But it's almost always better to hold off and find the elk bedded within the first 200 yards rather than search for an elk that you end up bumping by trying to follow it immediately in adverse conditions. First blood. The first phase of tracking will often yield the most clues about the task that lies ahead. However, it's important to recognize that there might not be any blood for the first 30 to 100 yards, even with a good hit. Elk will typically leave deep tracks and scuff marks in the ground as they flee after a shot. Having listened to the direction they fled after the shot will also provide a good idea of where to follow as you look for the first signs of a blood trail. Once you find first blood, hang another ribbon. Blood is the key indicator that you have a confirmed hit and can be very helpful in determining what kind of a hit you actually have. The color, consistency, and quantity of blood will often provide much-needed clues and help you decide whether to proceed or to back out and wait longer. An ideal shot will produce pink, foamy blood filled with lots of bubbles. This is evidence of a lung hit, which usually provides a fairly short and easy-to-follow blood trail. Bright red blood without any bubbles, especially in larger quantities, typically signifies a muscle hit of some kind, potentially a heart, brisket, or ham. A shot that's slightly high in back can produce limited amounts of dark red blood and could indicate a liver shot. Even farther back, in the paunch or the guts, will produce a few drops of bright red blood at first, but usually won't produce a very productive blood trail, especially after the initial 100 yards or so. If you need to, go back and listen to the previous chapter on the anatomy of an elk for more detailed analysis of the typical blood trail that's left by the differing shots. Following the blood trail. During all phases of tracking and following the blood trail, it's crucial to remain absolutely quiet. If the elk is still alive, making noise could scare the elk and cause a rush of adrenaline that can propel even the sickest of elk for several hundred yards, even miles. Additionally, a wounded, sick elk will often make noises that can be detected if you're being quiet. Sounds such as heavy, labored breathing, breaking branches, or even coughing can give away the location of a wounded elk. An ideal tracking job would include two hunters, one in front to scour the ground for sign, and a second hunter following closely behind, watching ahead in the distance for a visual of the animal. It's easy to become so focused on following blood or tracks that a bedded elk might see you and get bumped before you even realize it's there. Jumping an elk at this point is bad, and the chances of recovery go down dramatically. A third person makes a tracking job even better, as they can wait at the location of last blood and help ribbon the trail as you go. For bow hunters, it's usually during this phase of tracking that you're able to find the arrow. The arrow can provide additional clues regarding blood type and penetration. These clues might lead you to continue tracking or to sit and wait a while longer. As you work along the blood trail, continue to hang flagging ribbon to mark the path. This will establish a course and direction of where the elk may be heading and will be beneficial if the blood trail runs out. Additionally, using some sort of a GPS or mobile device with GPS tracking during the tracking can be incredibly helpful in establishing the direction or the location an elk is traveling. A wounded elk will usually head for a specific area and not just be wandering aimlessly. And once they get lined out and head for that area, seeing the straight line of travel on a GPS can provide additional clues on where they're heading. Tracking. When a shot isn't ideal, and sometimes even when it is, following the blood trail can turn into a hunt all of its own. During this phase, tracking skills and perseverance come to the surface. There are several key factors that can help an elk hunter when the blood trail gets tough. If you aren't able to find your arrow, finding blood on brush or branches along the trail can help determine whether you had a pass-through, for example, blood on both sides of the trail, or if your arrow is still in the animal, if there's blood on one side of the trail only. Other clues, such as blood on high branches or seed heads on tall grass, can provide indications of whether the hit was high or low. If you're finding the majority of the blood rubbed on higher branches or brush, keep looking for blood in these types of areas. Oftentimes, when an elk runs through brush or through small trees, blood ends up on the underside of the branches, and it requires turning them over for inspection. Look for blood in other obvious areas as well, such as where the elk crossed down trees or rocks. These landmarks provide more contrast and make blood easier to spot. Once an elk gets lined out, they'll usually travel in a fairly straight course as they retreat to cover, such as thick timber or cool draws or vantage points. They'll also often follow a path of least resistance if they haven't been bumped. Having a trail of flagging ribbon or marked on your GPS can help visualize that course and keep you moving in the right direction, even if the blood trail dies out and tracks become hard to distinguish. Lastly, elk will rarely travel uphill when they're seriously injured. I use the word rarely very cautiously here, as I have seen elk go straight up a mountain, even with a hard hit. If they do head uphill, it's usually for a limited distance, and it's often to get on a trail or a bench or to gain a vantage point. If you follow the trail uphill for a distance and the tracks or blood trail eventually veer to the side, that's a good indicator the elk is hit hard. Once the elk turns and begins sidehilling, It's also likely that it won't gain more elevation, and it's looking for an area to bed down. Look for areas that an injured elk would likely go to for safety in the near distance. If the blood trail becomes hard to follow, have one person stay at the last spot of blood, or hang flagging ribbon if you're tracking alone. Once another spot of blood is located, have the spotter move ahead to that location or hang another ribbon. You might go 100 yards or more without blood at this point, and having a spotter or ribbon at the last known location of blood will help bring you back to the right point to regroup without losing the blood trail completely. At this point, a single drop of blood will verify you're still on the right trail and get you that much closer to your elk. At the end of the blood trail. When the blood trail ends completely, continue to follow tracks the best you can. An injured elk will often make scuff marks in the dirt or drag its feet as it crosses downed logs. If the tracks become impossible to follow, stop and look for areas where an injured elk would most likely retreat to. Then, head in that direction in a straight line, looking closely for any signs that would indicate you're still on the trail. Always make sure you've hung ribbon at the last confirmed blood or tracks so you can come back to that point if your search doesn't provide additional confirmation. Injured elk will often retreat to thick timber or thick brush patches, especially if those areas provide them with a thermal, visual, or audible advantage, using their senses of smell, sight, and sound. Cool, shady draws with water or benches with a spring are another probable area to search for a wounded elk. The body's natural immune response to injury causes an elevated body temperature, which will often drive a wounded elk to water or cool shade. Another common area of retreat is an open ridge or knob that provides a visual vantage point. Elk are especially cautious when they're injured and will often bed where they have the wind in their favor and/or where they're able to watch their back trail, especially if they suspect they're being pursued, for instance, if you've previously jumped them. Always be mindful of the wind and be looking ahead as you follow the trail. At this point in the process, it's easy to become mentally and physically exhausted. As badly as you want to keep going, it can be helpful to stop and take a break. It's not beneficial to continue plowing blindly ahead. Be sure to replenish with food and water often and take breaks as you notice yourself getting careless. Tracking can be exhausting, and fatigue can make it easy to miss obvious signs or bump the elk. It's also at this point where many hunters give up. The frustration of not finding sign, coupled with fatigue and discouragement, can quickly lead to a feeling of hopelessness. Stop and take a break. If you need to, back all the way out and go back to camp. Get rest and get more help. Fresh eyes and a fresh mind can breathe new life into a seemingly hopeless blood trail. Last resort. When all other options fail, and after scouring for sign for 4 to 6 hours, start a grid search from the last confirmed blood or track. Walk out 300 or 400 yards in a straight line, then drop down the hill 40 yards and parallel your way back to the last ribbon. Continue doing this, looking for signs of blood or tracks, as well as a downed elk. Then repeat the process above the ribbon, or have your hunting partner grid search the area above the last blood as you search below. I can't tell you how many times a blood trail has been abandoned, only to find the elk the next day or a few days later, just a short distance from where the tracking job was terminated. Using a GPS for the grid searches can help verify that you've covered the area sufficiently. A GPS will also give you an overview of the travel path the elk has taken so far and may provide additional clues as to where it's heading. Only after an exhaustive search that includes investigating all probable bedding locations for an injured elk should you call it quits. At this point, there should be no doubt in your mind that the animal will survive. If you suspect the hit was fatal and you've done all you can to recover the elk, come back the next morning and listen for ravens or magpies. Ravens, vultures, and magpies will usually find a dead elk within 24 hours, especially in September and October, so come back and listen or watch for birds at first daylight. Smell can also be a giveaway after 24 hours, so hiking downwind of the suspected areas can also be productive in bringing closure to a hunt that's gone awry. Summary. No one likes to lose an animal. We owe it to the animals we hunt and to other sportsmen we share the mountain with to be as proficient as possible with our weapons. Still, things can and do happen that are out of our control. It's our responsibility, and the law in many states, to make every effort for recovery. Nothing can take the place of a high percentage shot that we're confident in. However, when things go bad, tracking is a vital skill to learn to increase the chances of recovery. Go slow. Be alert. Think like a wounded elk. Where would you go to get away and find safety and comfort? Watch for all clues, broken branches, obvious trails, tracks, scuff marks, hoof drags on downed logs, not just a trail of blood. While we should do everything possible to minimize the need for it when we take the shot, tracking can be the piece of the puzzle that ultimately separates failure and success. Hopefully, at the end of every blood trail, there's a reason for celebration. However, the successful recovery of an elk hardly indicates the end of the process. In fact, I'm sure you've heard the saying that the real work begins once you pull the trigger. In order to complete the successful hunt, you'll need to process the elk and pack it off the mountain.